Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're going to look at something that our epistle lesson says. It says, do not despise prophecy. And if you listen to that commercial, if you could hear it, sorry about the sound, the reality is we live in a world today where everybody believes everything they hear and see. It is really getting crazy out there. People believe what they see on the internet as gospel truth, and they don't verify it. People believe what they hear on the media as the absolute truth, as it's from God's word, from his mouth. They don't verify it on their own. People believe gossips and rumors, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But the reality is people love to believe what they hear nowadays, despising the truth. People will believe anything. You know, recently I saw a post from a distant family member of mine on Facebook, and I had commented on it, and it was about a two-page comment. You know, it was one of those that got me stirred up, so I thought it'd be a two-page comment. And then afterwards I thought, you know what, I'm not even going to put it on there because people will just not agree with it. It had on this post, on one side, a picture of the Lord's Prayer from the King James Version of the Bible, which if you know is my favorite version of the Bible. That's sarcasm. Highlighted with, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then I had the ESV version of the Bible, which I'm kind of fond of because many of the people who translated the ESV version are people that I knew from professors in seminary because Lutherans helped to translate that version of the Bible, which means it's perfect. And so anyways, had the ESV on the other side, and it didn't have the end, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Not a little history. We added the for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the forever and ever. Amen. That's called a doxology. We added to the prayer. But the point of this post was from this guy who called himself King James 6611 or something like that, was that the King James is more accurate because the King James Bible had that ending written in it. Well, that's not true at all. All you have to do is open your Bible to see it's not there. And then went on to talk about the errors of the ESV and all the errors. And I just want to say, listen, don't believe everything you see on the internet because in reality, well, never mind, I won't type my whole post for you, but you get the drift, right? People will believe just about anything. They don't even open their Bible and they're sharing this post thinking it's got to be accurate because it's on Facebook. We'll believe anything these days. People believe anything these days. I've seen it even in church. Churches are so notorious. Every church, no church is exempt for gossip and rumors. You know how that goes, even about the pastor. Gossip and rumors, and it's so funny sometimes. I'll hear a gossip or rumor about me, and I'll begin to believe it. I know. That's just the kind of society we live in. But the reality is they go around because people are gossip mongers and rumor mongers, and they like to stir trouble. And my friends, that's from Satan. That's evil. Why? Because it's despising the word of God, which says speak the truth, speak love. And that's the reality of that. I've seen it in the media, in politicians, and even pastors. The media is notorious for it. Politicians are notorious for it. I won't go into any detail. Pastors are notorious.
Listen to other denominations, even Lutheran denominations today. And you will hear such hard things as it's okay to ordain transgender people, it's okay for homosexuals to be married, it's okay to have an abortion, to right on down the line. Even denominations today that believe that the story of creation and the story of Jonah in the Old Testament were just fables made up to teach us a parable or a lesson, because that's what people have done to God's word. The reality today is people will believe just about anything you tell them. And there are people out there that will take advantage of that, because Satan is very good at taking advantage of that. That's why the lesson for today says, don't despise prophecy, which is God's word. Don't despise it, but hold it as true. Have you ever heard of Snopes? Any of you heard of Snopes? Snopes is big business these days. I love Snopes because if I hear a rumor, the first thing I do is go to Snopes to check it out. Now, there again, I believe Snopes to be accurate, but they claim that they check everything, and most of the time I found that they are pretty accurate. So, what are we as Christians supposed to do? What are we supposed to do when we live in this world where stuff and rumors and gossip and false truth reign supreme? Even in the church, right? The Missouri Synod had split years ago. In fact, I had a pastor friend of mine leave the Missouri Synod recently, within the last 2 years, because the Missouri Synod deigns to believe in a seven-day creation. His comment was, I can't be involved in a church body that denies the truth of science. My question is, what's more important, the truth of science or the truth of Scripture? But that's the kind of world we live in today. People questioning God's word as truth and accurate. Pastors teaching false prophecies and false truths. How do we live as Christians in a world where people don't believe the Bible?
including other Christians. This is a reality. You ask the majority of Christians today, how often do you open your Bible? And what do you think the answer is? What do you think the answer is? What? Rarely, if at all. Right? And that's a sad world to live in. And that's a sad thing about Christianity. How do we live in a world today where people believe what society believes about Christians? If you look at the societal view of Christianity today, people think we're greedy. People think we're bigots. People think we're hatred. They think we're false, especially when you have churches in Alabama supporting a pedophile for office. These things happen. Isn't this not the truth? And we wonder why Christians today are looked down upon. And people don't believe us when we're speaking the truth and when we're trying to love them where they are. But we live in a world today where people will believe literally anything they see and hear. How do we as Christians function in a world that is falling apart, where the truth no longer means anything, where the gospel message is no longer the gospel message? The answer is simple. At least I think it is. Be the presence of Jesus. Live out the light and love of Jesus every day in our lives. Be the presence of Jesus. Live out his light and love in our lives. For it's only when the world sees us, when it sees the light and love of Jesus in us, that the world changes. That gossip mongers are put to rest. That false news and fake gospel is destroyed. Because Jesus is truth. As John 1 tells us, Jesus is the Word who made his flesh and dwelt among us. So today I want to look at what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, because I do believe it's a good example of how we are to live in this world today when everything around us seems to be so faulty, when everything around us seems to be in chaos, when everything around us seems to be so fake, when everything around us, well, you can't judge it, you don't know, is it true or not? So I want to back up to 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning at verse 12, and just walk through this for a minute, and let's look at what St. Paul has to say. My version is different than what's up there, and I apologize to you. Now we ask you, brothers, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Somebody once asked me, what's the hardest thing about being a pastor? Because that's what that's talking about. And the hardest thing about being a pastor is when you have a congregation who doesn't live in peace. And when there are people who like to destroy that peace. And when there are people who are not peaceful or loving, that's the hardest thing. It really is. Because as a pastor, you beat your head against the wall and you don't know what to do sometimes. And so one of the ways that we can change the viewpoint of the world, one of the ways that we can be the truth to the world around us is by, as a congregation, and we do a really good job of that here at Christ Lutheran, but making sure we continue to do this, is live at peace with one another. Sure, there are going to be days we don't like each other. There are going to be days where you're offended by something and I'm going to be offended by something. There are going to be days where something happens between us and we have little tuffles. That happens in a family, does it not? Our family's perfect. My family's a perfect. If you have a perfect family, great, but they aren't. Sometimes you get mad at your children. Sometimes your children get mad at you. Sometimes you get mad at your spouse. Not me. I have a perfect spouse, so that doesn't happen. But this happens. So live at peace with one another. And this is very encouraging words for us. And learning how to live at peace reflects to the world, as we are in touch with them outside our walls and inside our walls, who we in Christ really are. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. That's pretty straightforward. If somebody's causing trouble, St. Paul says, call them out. We're not good at that, are we? Because we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to judge. That's not judging. But in love, calling each other on the carpet when things aren't going right, we're able to restore each other. To build one another up, to share the love of Jesus with each other, to share forgiveness, to root out shame and guilt, and to win victory over Satan in our relationships and in our lives as we bear and encourage each other to live the light and love of Jesus in our lives around us. It's a very important thing for us to do. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Pretty straightforward suggestion. I don't know about you, but every once in a while when somebody does something bad to me, I think in my mind, wouldn't it be good if? Do Do any of you else do that? Anybody? Anybody at all? Am I alone on that? Okay. Sorry. Sometimes I wish karma were true, but it's not. That would be a good thing in our world too. No such thing as karma. We don't get what we deserve, that's for sure. You know that because of Jesus, right? But you understand. Living in love. And here we go, 16. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Listen to the attitude change there. And what St. Paul is saying is, listen, when you live rejoicing in the Lord, and this time of year we find this great rejoicing as Jesus comes into our world, we find great rejoicing as the tiny baby comes and know that he comes for a distinct purpose, to save us, to rescue us, to free us from sin, to take our sins and remove them as far as the east is from the west. We know this time of year we have so much to rejoice over. The very fact that Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our King has come for us to die for us, to open the kingdom of heaven to us, to make us children of the Heavenly Father. And what St. Paul says is, listen, change your attitude and be a person of rejoicing. One who gives thanks in every circumstance. One who prays continually. Because when we live this attitude, when we live in rejoicing, when we live a life of gratitude, when we live a life that prays continually, our attitude and our heart follows. There's a saying in 12-step groups, such as AA, that says, fake it till you make it. Try it sometime. You may not feel like loving somebody. You may not feel like praying continually in every circumstance. You may not feel like rejoicing. So fake it till you make it, because you know what happens? The body chemistry, the body, the heart, the soul, everything changes. And our attitude begins to change, and we begin spewing the love of Jesus to people around us. It's contagious, too, because then they catch on and begin to know the truth of the love of Jesus and the power of his gospel message, which is the truth of our salvation. I told you last week, right? Psychologically, maybe one of my sermons recently, I told you, psychologically, we know that if you are in a bad mood or you are grumpy, if you raise the corner of your mouth, your dopamine receptors automatically respond, your serotonin goes up, your endorphins rise up, and you will become happy. You will be able to rejoice. And by the way, it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. Live and rejoice in Jesus because of what he has done for us. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject what is ever harmful. Very wise advice from St. Paul. Very self-explanatory. And then he says, may the God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. That's so beautiful, the ending there, because this is the reality. As much as we try and will try to be people of the truth, as much as we try and try to be people of the presence of the light and love of Jesus in the world so they know what true Christianity is, as much as we try to live in peace with everybody, as much as we try to be grateful in all circumstances, as much as we try to do all of these things, guess what? We are going to fail. We will. Because we are not perfect. But thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, who makes everything new and right. Because of his death and because of his resurrection, because of the tiny little baby king born to you and to me, because of our baptism, because of the gospel, because of the Lord's Supper, we are cleansed, renewed, and as he says in that passage, sanctified, strengthened, made holy, to continue to live out the work of Jesus in our world around us, to be the advent of Jesus to the world around us who needs to see the light and know the love, feel the love, and experience the power of our King and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what Advent is all about. And Advent continues in you and me as we wade through this world that will believe everything and anything. As we wade through a world who has false beliefs about what true Christianity is about, albeit there are a lot of churches that give those false beliefs, you and I have the opportunity to change the world as the Advent presence of Jesus by living in peace and quietness and love, by rejoicing, being thankful, and praying continually. It all starts right here. And as we go out from this place, the Spirit's fire, as St. Paul says, will be ignited within you, and it will never be put out because you are forgiven and loved. And Jesus promises to shine his light in your life so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess him as King and Savior. In the name of Jesus, amen.